John David.
I don't know. I really don't.
Great Tiffany Haddish. I'm gonna mispronounce every name that I read off here. Did y'all see that when she was doing her and Andy Serkis did the Academy Award like nomination announcement ceremony?
That's so random.
Y'all didn't see it?
I saw that they were going to, but I didn't watch it.
It was so funny. She mispronounced like every single name. It was really good.
Sounds right.
Garee Oldman.
Yeah,
but also I bet a few of those were on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear her say Saoirse Ronan, but I can only imagine.
I'm gonna go find that now.
Alright, so this episode is the Why I Hate the Oscar episode. We did not do it last year, but we have done it like the previous 3 years, so.
Quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Do we hate the Oscars this year?
I have an answer, Colby. What do you think?
Always.
No, not for me. I think we'll get into this a little bit later, but for the most part, they got it right.
Yep. Can I say this?
Yeah.
I don't hate the nominations this year overall. I mean, there are always things. Do I think, considering everything that's going on, am I going to hate the ceremony? Yes. Yes, I'm going to say that I am.
Maybe. We still got Jimmy Kimmel doing it, so like...
We do. And this... I need to clarify. This is not to say that I'm like, man, I'm so tired of them getting out of those people for sexual assault. Just leave them alone. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Well, that's what I understood.
But... Right, well, that's because that's what you were thinking. But, no, it's just, at some point, like with the Grammys this year, I hated the Grammys this year.
I actually didn't watch.
I didn't watch at all, but I went back and watched things later and was kind of doing the highlights, and I was like, I just don't care about any of y'all or your opinions, so, and I feel like that's how I'm going to feel this year with the Oscars.
We'll see. I think there could be a couple of good speeches given. Like,
we'll see.
I don't know. Did y'all watch the Golden Globes by any chance?
I watched the speeches.
Okay. So did you see when Frances McDormand won? Like the way the swagger she had when she walked up to the stage.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like it's just unreal. It.
Cause she's the coolest person alive.
She is the best. And like, she's just like, I got a couple things to say. I loved it. I really did. I love her so much.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting a good one from her, but we'll get into that in just a few minutes. John David and I don't really hate the Oscars. Colby always will. Okay, so it's not even that I think they got it right. It's just that I was right in thinking of what they were going to nominate.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We all knew exactly what to expect here, and that's give or take two movies and Best Picture. That's what we got. But we'll go ahead and start with Best Picture. I'm going to read off the nominees. They are Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. We'll start with Colby. Thoughts?
First thought is Blade Runner 2049 is not in this, and
we didn't expect it to be, though.
That's why I hate the Oscars, though. Yeah. So, other thoughts are Get Out deserves it. I have not seen... obviously, I think Dunkirk and Lady Bird and Phantom Thread and Shape of Water and Three Billboards deserve to be in here. But I don't know about The Post, or I haven't seen Call Me By Your Name or Darkest Hour, and I'm not sure any of those really deserve to be in Best Picture.
Let me...
category.
Go ahead, John David.
So, okay, I don't fully disagree with you. Here's the deal. Darkest Hour and The Post are two movies I absolutely loved this year. Mm-hmm. They are both the most traditional, like, historical dramas. I mean,
Right.
Kind of like, but that's just what they are. That's the genre. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing is, that genre is getting a bad rap right now because it's a genre that has kind of been done to death.
Yeah.
So they're both almost perfectly done movies in a lot of ways. Like, there's not much better you could have done with this movie the way it's done. Mm-hmm. I actually saw the post for the second time today because I had a friend who hadn't seen it yet who wanted to see it, and I was very happy to go back because I love it. Darkest Hour, almost though, more than the post, is actually... have either of y'all seen Darkest Hour?
I did. I watched it.
I have not yet.
So it's directed by Joe Wright,
yep.
Who I love, one of my favorite directors, and it's pretty creatively done.
I agree. It's so going into it, I really didn't want this to be nominated because I'd seen every other movie nominated. So this was the only one that was kind of on the fringes that I was like, please don't get nominated because I don't want to watch it. This looks like so boring, and stretches of it are, but it's much, I don't know, it's much more kind of eccentric. Like,
yeah,
and Oldman's just so good, but I thought it was really well directed too, well written. The dialogue is great. I was surprised by that movie.
Yeah, a movie I truly loved this year. Probably will be on my 10 when we get to that episode. Mm-hmm. So I think the thing with Dunkirk and The Post is, are they groundbreaking? Are they incredibly creative in the way of like Get Out or The Shape of Water? No, they're not.
Wait, you're talking about Darkest Hour and The Post, right?
I'm sorry, yes. Okay. I think this is something. Yeah, so Darkest Hour and The Post. So... they're kind of the best version of what they were going to be.
Yeah.
And I think there's still a place for that.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. Darkest Hour at The Post, they're very old Hollywood, which is... it is interesting to see them in this mix with... you point out Lady Bird and Get Out, like, we're in this transition period for the Oscars, I think, where they're
right.
being more inclusive to different types of movies. And so it makes those two, like, stand out like sore thumbs. Which is interesting. I love The Post, but when it comes to like the newspaper cinematic universe of films, it didn't quite live up to like Spotlight.
Well, no, because it's a movie that's about the free press. It's not about newspapers,
right.
really. So you go in thinking you're going to see like a movie about journalism, and you're seeing a movie about politics, true. Government.
Let me ask you this. My biggest complaint with The Post was Tom Hanks. If that had been, let's say, Bryan Cranston in that role, do you think it would have been a better movie?
I'll say that. So first of all, I love Tom Hanks in the movie. I thought it was great. Thought there was something that made a lot of sense about it, about him as Tom Hanks in that role.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was leaning towards too. I say no because this feels like a movie where Spotlight didn't feel like a movie. So Tom Hanks works in this role. Like, to me, he works better than Cranston would, I think.
And it doesn't have to be Cranston. I'm just thinking, like, with it being Hanks, with it being Streep, which Streep was great in this anyways, but with Hanks, it almost felt more like a play. It felt more like Fences than it did.
Yes, I could see that. She didn't really seem like she was acting because she's no. Meryl Streep.
Right.
And he did seem like he was playing a character and like he was acting. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I see where you're coming from. I have no complaints because for one, I just like to see Tom Hanks on a movie screen. It just makes me happy. Here's my complaint with The Post. The third act is a little almost schmaltzy, a little bit. You kind of lose the aggression of the movie.
Yeah.
And you sort of, it almost is like, and we've been building up to these themes, and now we shall explicitly state what these themes are. And I didn't think that was completely necessary. And I still love the movie.
Yeah, yeah. I thought like the first 5 minutes and maybe even the last 5 minutes kind of did the same thing. Like Spielberg,
yeah.
You don't have to show us Vietnam, man. Like, we get it. We all know.
I forget that was even in there.
Yeah.
Like, open with a Vietnam scene with a Creedence Clearwater Revival song
right.
playing. Like, this is so, so, so overdone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tom Hanks movie? I mean, God, it's like I've seen this a million times.
Okay, so to move off The Post, were there any, like, real surprises to you here out of the nominees?
I was not expecting Darkest Hour to get a nomination, but I wasn't surprised that it did.
What about a movie that wasn't nominated that you were kind of expecting?
I maybe thought I, Tonya had a shot at a nomination. I wasn't expecting it to get one, but I thought it had a shot. And maybe if I thought it came down to I, Tonya or Darkest Hour, it might go to I, Tonya. I probably agree with this because I think I, Tonya is an amazing collection of performances, maybe than it is movie, the more I've gotten away from. But that one probably would have been the main one. What about you guys?
I expected Florida Project to sneak in there.
Should have been nominated. It really should have been nominated.
But other than that, maybe, I don't know, slightly, like way, way, way out there would have been Disaster Artist. I think those were two A24 movies that were hyped and got overlooked in the Oscars.
I think Disaster Artist would have been nominated if not for the Franco stuff.
Yeah.
He definitely would have been, but we'll get to that. Yeah, for me, the Florida Project was, and I really expected I, Tonya, I thought Florida Project was probably going to get nominated, but so like Darkest Hour, I wasn't really expecting. I knew that Gary Oldman was going to be nominated, but Phantom Thread, like it came out so late, and like the precursors to the Oscars, it was left out on almost all of them for the major awards other than Daniel Day-Lewis and Best Score. So I was not expecting it to get 6 nominations.
Well, and it's the type of movie, and so Phantom Thread, I've been meaning to see, but I haven't seen it.
Mm.
I'm going to try to before the 10.
Please do.
But from all the reviews, it seems more like a movie people respect than love.
Yeah, I still am trying to sort my feelings out with that one, and we'll get into it probably during the floaties. But it's one of those things where Paul Thomas Anderson is like one of these extremely respected filmmakers, that like probably one of the most respected filmmakers in Hollywood, and so he made a movie that wasn't as weird as Inherent Vice, so let's go ahead and reward him for that. And Daniel Day-Lewis's last performance, it could just be kind of a career achievement type of nomination.
It looks like an old white people movie.
Oh, it is.
The oldest and the whitest.
It's so pretentious.
Like, it looks like more of an old white people movie than Dunkirk, and that's pretty hard. I'm sorry. I keep saying Dunkirk when I mean Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
There are too many. There are two movies about Dunkirk.
Mm-hmm. Let's go around. What do you think will win, Colby?
This has to be the hardest. God, I have no idea. I'm gonna say Dunkirk.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Dunkirk.
John David.
I don't know. I really don't.
I have no idea.
I think Shape of Water has a chance. I think maybe Three Billboards has a chance. It's definitely gaining momentum.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think this is going to be one where a lot of things end up splitting the vote. And I kind of think it also might be Dunkirk.
Yeah.
I think you got still a bunch of old white people and you have a really well-done war movie. I think if Dunkirk had come out in October, November, it would win.
I agree 100%. It's got that summer blockbuster kind of stink on it for the Academy. That's like the main hang-up for me. So all of the precursors lead you to believe that there are two front runners, and that's Three Billboards and Shape of Water, which have just been cleaning up. I don't know, though, because really, could I see stuff splitting votes like you were saying, and Dunkirk winning? Yes. Lady Bird or Get Out? Like,
I agree. I absolutely agree.
I think I'd say Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Shape of Water, and Three Billboards those are the ones that have a legit, I would not be shocked if they won.
So based on all of them, pretty much all the best director besides Phantom Thread.
Right.
Darkest Hour with the upset.
Oh my God. That would be the craziest moment. But I would
turn off the TV.
If I were picking today, probably Shape of Water. I don't know though, because Three Billboards, there's already the backlash, and that is a complicated
I have so much to say about that movie. I have so much to say.
So do I. And all positive.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I don't know. I hope the Academy's not like, well, we made the mistake letting Crash win, which was like this movie that was supposed to be this commentary about racism, but in itself was like racist. But so I don't know if they'll try to
Of Three Billboards.
Right, exactly. So I don't know if they'll overcorrect here. I'm going Shape of Water, even though,
okay.
I mean, for the love of God, I love Shape of Water. How can a Best Picture winner be about a fish man
who has a relationship with a mute lady?
Right.
What's funny is, like, this year, there's these, like, you can almost divide them up, and there's, like, an audience for each movie.
Mm-hmm. There is.
Like,
there is one for everybody.
I could say you could take The Post and Darkest Hour and kind of slide them under the Dunkirk category.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of old white people, but then you got your other audiences, you got your female, you got your feminist movies, you got your wacky comedy type movies like Three Billboards, and then you got Call Me By Your Name.
I would put Phantom Thread a little bit in the wacky comedy. That movie is funny.
It is. It's pretty funny.
So I need to say this, speaking of old white people movies, so saw The Post again today. Lady sitting beside us was literally 90 years old. Not a joke. Actually 90 years old. Came in there with a blanket. And she had the time of her life.
Yeah.
Watching The Post. She, like, every time Meryl Streep stood up for herself as a woman, she, like, whooped at the screen. That part where, at the end, where they say, it's like they're reading off the report, and it says, the press was for the governed, not the government. She just goes, oh, yes.
And then
this lady has lived a life.
Then she put on her MAGA hat.
Yeah. No, she didn't do that. Not in The Post.
That Tom Hanks is such a wonderful motion picture star.
I know. I love that Bob Odenkirk.
Mr. Show and Bob and David.
I didn't think the Post. Yeah, the supporting performances in that movie were so good. But, all right,
Bob Odenkirk was fantastic. Anyway,
Went back and watched The Shape of Water again in Dothan last weekend, and there was these two girls who were probably in their mid-20s that were sitting kind of beside me, like three or four seats over, and they didn't know what kind of movie this was.
Oh, no.
Because whenever the scenes happened, they were just, and it's out loud, they were, you know, talking pretty loudly. Oh no, she's not gonna. Oh my God! Like it was so good. Especially I was gonna record it, but I didn't want to get arrested. Okay, let's go around and make our pick for what we think, what we would vote on if we had a vote. So Colby, what would you vote on for Best Picture?
Man, I don't know. Dunkirk is like one of the most technically perfect movies I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But The Shape of Water and Three Billboards like brought something out of me when I watched those. Those were movies to me. Like just ones like I always enjoy. But it would be between those three. I'm going to
make a choice.
I'm going to say Shape of Water.
Okay. Wow.
Those three.
John David.
Dunkirk is what first comes to mind.
Mm.
Because out of all the Best Picture nominees, I do think it's the most perfect movie. I do. That I've seen. I've seen everything except for Shape of Water.
Call Me By Your Name.
Call Me By Your Name. Yeah, I've not seen Call Me By Your Name.
You want me to give you a brief summation?
How about you give the plot of The Shape of Water and Call Me By Your Name and just intermingle the pieces of...
Listen, here's Call Me By Your Name for everyone. Let's ride a bike through Italy. Water. Let's lay down in the meadow. Oh, let's go swimming. Oh, let's ride the bike again.
Michael Shannon and a 17-year-old fish boy have a relationship in Italy.
Oh, gosh. I real quick, on a kind of slight snub, I kind of thought All the Money in the World was going to be a bigger deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it ended up not. And it has like a 70-something% on Rotten Tomatoes. But I kind of expected a little more from that one. Anyway.
You like that movie more than I did.
I apparently like that movie more than most people did. I don't know why. I just love that movie. But I do.
Okay, so what would you vote for? Make your pick.
I would vote for Get Out, though. I would vote for Get Out.
Really? Wow.
Get Out is a movie I really like. I am not the intended audience because I still don't like horror movies at the end of the day. They just stress me out too much. It's not a movie I'm going to go back and revisit a ton.
Mm.
But it's I kind of like the idea that the best picture is representative of the year.
Yeah.
And I think Get Out was the movie of the year. And so I would vote for Get Out. I would.
Yeah, that's probably. I kind of feel like Get Out's this year's Mad Max.
Yeah, it had the biggest cultural impact.
And it should.
Exactly. It shifted. It actually shifted Hollywood.
Well, it became a monoculture in a way that no real Best Picture movie normally does. Like, everybody talked about Get Out. And you had to go see it in theaters. It was like this experience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you stole my thunder because I think I was going to say Get Out. But since you did, I am actually going to say Lady Bird.
Call Me By Your Name.
I'm going to say Lady Bird. That movie has really stuck with me.
It has, me too.
I think it's perfectly written. I really love Lady Bird. So that would get my vote.
I have to say, Lady Bird didn't stick with me. I enjoyed it. I really, really liked the movie, but I can't remember half of it.
I do wish I would have seen it again before it left theaters. But
I kind of think, in certain ways, Lady Bird is a movie. So I do need to see it again. It's kind of a movie I want to see out of theaters, though. It's a movie I want to see in my house.
Yep.
I don't know. It feels better somehow for that movie.
Yeah, I agree. Shape of Water probably would be the same for you.
No.
While you're taking a bath.
Boiling some eggs. Okay, so let's move on to Best Director. The nominees are Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk, Jordan Peele for Get Out, Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird, Paul Thomas Anderson for Phantom Thread, and Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water. Notable that this is Christopher Nolan, Jordan Peele, and Greta Gerwig, and Guillermo del Toro's first nomination for Best Director.
And for two of those, this is their debut film.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, sort of. Greta Gerwig co-directed a movie.
Did she?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Was that Francis Ha or something?
That was...
maybe.
She wrote that movie.
That was what's his name?
Noah Baumbach.
Noah Baumbach.
Did y'all watch Francis Ha?
No, I've actually never seen a Baumbach.
It's the most boring thing I've ever seen. You talk about a movie where absolutely nothing happens. I couldn't finish it. I tend to enjoy plotless, meandering movies. Mm-hmm. Nope, that was too much.
She co-directed a movie called Nights and Weekends back in 2008 with Joe Swanberg.
Well, that doesn't count.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Who was the guy from Drinking Buddies and all those movies.
Mumblecores.
Yeah. Okay. Thoughts on these nominees?
I'm really happy with this group of nominees for Best Director.
Yeah.
I expected Martin McDonagh to get a nomination.
Yeah, me too.
I expected him in the place of Paul Thomas Anderson. I'm not the biggest advocate for Three Billboards. I don't think it's a bad movie. We'll talk about it more later. I thought he would have been deserving of a nomination. I haven't seen Phantom Thread. I'm sure, P.T. Anderson is plenty deserving of a nomination. So I just don't really care on that front. But I'll be pretty happy. I mean, I have a favorite to win. His name is Christopher Nolan. He needs to win this award. But I'll be pretty happy if any of the others besides Paul Thomas Anderson win. I'll be pretty happy.
Shots fired.
Not a fan of Maya Rudolph.
Martin McDonagh, Steven Spielberg. Those were the two that
that listen, again, love the post. Thank God Steven Spielberg did not get a nomination. Yeah,
well, he should have got nominated for the Ready Player One trailer.
Ooh, I got a bad feeling about that one.
So do I.
I need it to be good. I love that book so much.
Yeah, it's good. So, yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson was the surprise. I would love for him to win. He should have already won. But
sure.
Yeah, any of these could win.
So he's never won?
No.
Who won There Will Be Blood here?
The Coens.
The Coens won.
They beat him.
And they won directing and best picture.
Mm-hmm. And screenplay. Like
screenplay, I'll give him.
That.
Best picture, I'll give him. But director, I think it clearly...
You could have flip-flopped either one of those, too. True. For me. But 2007 is a year we've got to revisit. It's like the best year for movies. Mm-hmm. So this is going to come down to Christopher Nolan or Del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Del Toro is the favorite. I just find it hard to believe he's going to win for this. It's so weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I love The Shape of Water, but... It is so weird that he got 13 Oscar nominations and is...
Do you think it's more about Del Toro being Del Toro?
Maybe. Everybody likes him. I still think the Academy kind of holds the whole, like, block or superhero movies need to be taken seriously thing against Nolan.
Yeah.
Like, he gave legitimacy to a genre that was perfectly fine, like with Sam Raimi making Spider-Man movies, and nobody in the Academy got their ruffles feathered over it. But now that's changed because of Nolan. And so I think that they still harbor some ill will towards him for that.
I can see that.
But then again, we've seen it happen, like, where there's no real, like, nobody who runs away with the award, and so the, like, technical movie winds up winning. Like, Life of Pi won, Gravity won, and or those directors won, Ang Lee and Alfonso Cuarón. So, it could be Nolan. I don't know.
Who do you want it to be, Zach?
Nolan. I want Nolan. Yeah.
I assume we all want it to be Nolan.
Either him or Paul Thomas Anderson would be... Just because those are my two, like, favorite filmmakers.
I think he's not going to win, but a little part of me wishes Jordan Peele would win.
It would be so cool.
Because no one else could have made that movie.
No,
that's such a singular, distinct movie that it would just... And, I mean, the fact that, like, the guy who brought us... Substitute Teacher would win an Oscar.
Mr. Darby.
Would just be the coolest thing.
You don't mess up, man. Yeah. There's like a clear division between, like, well, you got your newcomers and you got your old heads in here. And then you got, like, I think a piece of the people who are voting are going to vote for Get Out and Lady Bird. Or Gerwig and Peele. And then... The majority of the Academy is going to be in the Dunkirk, Phantom Thread, Shape of Water boat. And then it's probably... I feel like Shape of Water is... I can't see everybody voting for that over the other two as it being a classic movie. But then again, The Shape of Water is the most movie I've seen in a long time.
Where, what do you mean?
You know, like...
It's a fairy tale, like, it's so whimsical. Yes. Like I compared it to, like, Harry Potter, the way those movies made me feel.
It's got sets and costumes and all this, and you're looking at actors where Dunkirk is like watching a documentary. Right. With GoPros taped to a fighter jet.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I almost don't know how to feel about not... Like about being okay with multiple winners. It's never this way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always have the person who better win or else. I don't feel that way this year.
I don't have that with really any category this year.
Nope. Nope, me neither.
To be fair, I haven't mentioned this yet. I have, but there is a French-Canadian-sized hole in this list that belongs to Denis Villeneuve, who is clearly my favorite director this year.
They're like... We gave him an Alien movie last year. We're not doing it twice in a row. I know, Blade Runner's and Aliens, but you know, they're like, we're not going to let two sci-fi movies like have big deals. Or they already had Shape of Water for a sci-fi movie. I really think that's it. I think that they said, listen, we've done some expansion. All right, we'll be in good. Don't ask too much out of us.
Yeah, like, well, if that movie had not been a flop, I really think it would have been a better, you know, had a better shot during award season. But they just don't, there's not a history of flops being rewarded.
That's true. That's definitely true.
Yeah, if it were me picking five, I would have said Villeneuve, but I knew he wasn't going to be nominated.
Should have been, though. And that's why I hate the Oscars.
All right, so who do you think is going to win, Colby?
Nolan.
All right, John David, who do you think is going to win?
Nolan. I'm going to say it's going to be Nolan.
I think it's going to be Del Toro. I think they're going to do it.
I think you could very well be right.
I think with I really believe they're going to try to get it's either Del Toro or Nolan, just because they're never probably going to get another shot to win as good as they have right now.
Well, like, so if with PTA being nominated, could he steal some of like the Del Toro votes? Like, we're going to vote for Del Toro because this is the most movie, like Colby said, but Phantom Thread kind of encroaches on that turf a little bit. And so do you think they split some votes now that they're both in the same field?
I definitely think Phantom Thread's going to steal, not enough to win.
No. I'm thinking enough to maybe make it where Nolan winds up pulling it out.
Yes, I think it could. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. Is they're probably like, you know, people still hate us because of the whole Dark Knight debacle. So we're probably just going to go ahead and give it to Nolan.
I think Nolan, first of all, I think Nolan hasn't made his best movie yet. And I think Nolan will have a shot of winning it in the future if he doesn't win for this year.
Yeah.
Del Toro, I think this is his chance. I'm not saying Del Toro's made his best movie, and I've not seen many
Del Toro movies. I'm saying he has.
It is. It's Pan's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Well, okay. Yes, that is true. Yes. But I'm not saying that. Let's put it this way. I'm not like writing him off as a director and saying he's a has-been. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So I'm saying he still might have amazing movies left in him, but I think this is the year the stars aligned for him to get Oscar love, and I don't think it's going to keep happening in the future. Could be wrong.
No, I think you're probably right. I mean, his taste is what hinders him, like, going forward. This was just the perfect year for this movie, I guess. But he's into the monster movies, which usually fishman.
See, and I think that's gonna be to his detriment. Is like the people who vote there are things about his movie that are gonna turn off some voters, and I'm talking more like the graphic nature of it, the language,
it does get kind of it goes Del Toro. It gets a little bit gruesome.
Thank God.
I mean, we
and it's like for it to be. It's like, it's one thing if No Country for Old Men, get which that movie's not incredibly gory. I'm not saying that it is, but it's one thing if a movie like that, or like a traditional war, you know, Saving Private Ryan, a movie like that goes bloody. But it's another thing if your monster romance hybrid goes bloody. It's like, there's already so much going on in this movie that's almost too much to ask out of your Oscar voters, to then also have it be like a gory, bloody movie.
I cannot get over how weird it is that this is a quasi front runner for like every category it's nominated in. I mean, if I just had described this movie to you last year, like Guillermo del Toro is going to make a movie about a mute girl who falls in love with a fish man, and Michael Shannon's going to play this G-man who's hunting them down, would you have thought it was going to get one less nomination than La La Land and Titanic did? It's just crazy.
It's a weird year.
Think about that acceptance speech, though. Nobody's going to understand it.
Right. Sean Penn was going to say, who gave this to me?
Who gave this son of a green card?
Who won it last year?
Director?
Oh, Chazelle. So he'll be presenting, I guess? He really needs to present to Nolan, Chazelle, and Nolan, just two egghead, like I don't know, savants.
Just like the whitest, smartest, film nerdiest people alive.
Right, right.
Did y'all hear that interview where Nolan, it's like an hour long interview where Nolan interviewed Edgar Wright about Baby Driver?
Yes.
It's really good.
It is really good.
Also, I like that they're friends.
I know, that's so funny to me. Okay, so let's move on to Best Actor. And the nominees are Timothée Chalamet for Call Me By Your Name, Daniel Day-Lewis for Phantom Thread, Daniel Kaluuya for Get Out, Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour, and Denzel Washington for Roman J. Israel Esquire.
Did not see the Denzel one coming.
I did.
I didn't. So I knew they weren't going to nominate. I'm
shocked.
I knew they weren't going to nominate Franco after the allegations came out.
Right.
I did not know who they were going to replace him with there. Was there anybody that you thought were, that y'all thought was like snubbed besides Franco?
Absolutely. I got like good list.
Okay, read them off.
Okay, we'll start with Gyllenhaal had a great performance. I would say definitely as good as Denzel was.
And stronger?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm always going to be partial to Gyllenhaal as my favorite.
I never watched it, so.
I'm going to keep beating this dead horse, man. Ryan Gosling in Blade Runner, even though it was flat, it's the same as you would say like Vikander was in Ex Machina. I think he was good enough to be in this category. I haven't seen Chalamet's or Oldman's performances, but I feel like Oldman is the Stephen Hawking of this. What's it, Eddie Redmayne? So, but my biggest one easily is Andy Serkis. Again, he is acting on a completely different level.
I agree. I knew it wasn't going to happen.
No, it's never going to happen.
But
unless it's for Black Panther.
That would be so.
The only person to get nominated is the white guy. Him and Martin Freeman.
He and Martin Freeman are battling. Oh gosh. They wouldn't recover. We would just shut them down.
Speaking of Black Panther, Daniel Kaluuya is nominated.
Yep.
So. Oh wait, he's not in Black Panther. I'm just kidding.
I didn't really see that coming with Daniel Kaluuya.
I kind of expected it.
I'm not saying he's not deserving. I'm gonna say he shouldn't win.
No, he shouldn't win. It's just you don't think of Get Out as an actor's movie.
No. Now, he does a great job.
He does, and
with a difficult role.
Yeah, you know, Allison Williams. If you watch it a second time and you watch her performance on the second viewing after you know what happens, like she is so good. Like
I thought so too. I was actually gonna bring up the point. Then I was gonna wait till we got a supporting actresses.
Yeah,
not that I don't think she was snubbed exactly because I think the people who are there are pretty deserving. But she's incredible in that movie.
Yeah, Denzel was through me. Although I didn't know, I don't know. That was just like we need to fill in a slot. Everybody loves Denzel. This is the Meryl Streep kind of thing.
And I've not seen that movie. People who I know have say that the movie is whatever, but that he's incredible. And so, sure, that's great. And I'm happy because it's, you know, I'm never mad
that
Denzel's nominated.
Okay, so this is kind of like the most boring category, a group of nominees.
Because it's going to be Oldman or Chalamet, but it's going to be Oldman.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree. And it should probably be Oldman, but also, should there be a role, like a rule where if you're playing Churchill, you shouldn't be allowed to win?
it's like we'll just give you an Oscar. Like, but, we'll just hand it to you.
Right.
And then we'll just leave the category open for other people.
He's just, you have to sit in a bathtub and be kind of eccentric. And
well, it's like Daniel Day-Lewis playing Lincoln,
right.
Meryl Streep playing Margaret Thatcher, him playing Churchill. When you get an amazing actor playing a very distinct, recognizable historical figure, they win an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
It's science. It happens every time.
So there are some skeletons in his closet. Some allegations made by an ex-wife back in 2001. Do we think that could be... Because he is like the lock of all locks. Do we think that could be enough of a smear campaign for him to lose this?
If they say Timothy Chalamet's name, I'll be like, oh, okay. I won't be completely shocked. Yeah. I think it's a way for them to recognize Call Me By Your Name, a movie that people love that is not probably going to be recognized anywhere else. So it's a way for them to recognize that movie. It makes sense with our, you know, current cultural climate that movie.
What are you saying now, David?
Huh?
What are you saying?
I'm saying that same love that is as the anthem.
Macklemore.
Right now, everyone still loves Macklemore. He's still a thing. That's what I'm saying.
So, Chalamet is freaking great in Call Me By Your Name. He's the best thing about that movie. I think that Daniel Day-Lewis has an outside shot because people in the academy, in the industry, actors, whoever, like, they see Daniel Day-Lewis and they, I think there's so much respect for him, and his process makes them feel more important than what they are as actors. Like,
tell me this, would he deserve it?
He's great.
Does the role require of him the same previous roles
required? It's a role different from what he normally plays. Like, he is normal in this. I mean, not normal. It's not Lincoln. It's not Daniel Plainview. It feels more like a regular person than this meaty character that he normally kind of gets.
Let's do the picks.
Yeah. Okay. So Colby, who do you think will win? And then who do you think should win?
I think it is between Daniel Day and Gary Oldman. I would pick... I haven't seen Darkest Hour, so I cannot comment, but I would pick Daniel Day-Lewis because he's playing a British man, and it's not even Daniel Day-Lewis we're watching. I really think he's got a good shot because he's announced his retirement again.
Yeah. Third time?
Yeah, and he's incredible. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I haven't seen Chalamet. I've seen Get Out, obviously. I don't think Kaluuya even has a snowball's chance, or Denzel, no. So.
I wonder why. Oscar so white, hashtag. Hashtag for the culture. Hashtag down to be brown.
Do I get
someone who kind of physically looks like a snowball? I'm going to give it to Oldman in his role as Winston Churchill.
Long time coming. One of the best character actors.
Fifth Element forever.
It also, like, is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, you can't overemphasize how good he is. And is part of the prosthetics? Yeah, it is. But it's such a transformation. He's great. There's no denying that he's fantastic.
Yeah, I would vote for... I mean, I think Oldman will win. I would probably vote for Chalamet if it was me. Mm-hmm. That kid learned to speak Italian, play the guitar and piano. Like, he's just... I think he's going to be huge. So, let's move on to lead actress. A little bit more of an exciting category. We've got Sally Hawkins for The Shape of Water, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Margot Robbie for I, Tonya, Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird, and Meryl Streep for The Post. Bleh. Meryl Streep.
You can't say she doesn't deserve it.
I can't say that.
She was fine. She was in like 40 minutes of the movie.
She was good. She was good
she
enough
She was
to,
good.
Although
she was
I do...
incredible.
She was good. I do kind of wish that like Jessica Chastain may have...
I have not seen Molly's Game, and I have tried to see Molly's Game like 3 times, and it is not meant to happen. I'm going to have to wait till it comes out, because now it's pretty much out of theaters. Seriously, tried 3 different times to see it, and something always intervened.
It's great. Read the book.
It's good.
Watch the movie.
I mean...
It's Sorkin.
My love for Aaron Sorkin goes pretty deep. I mean, he's imperfect. You know, there was Steve Jobs... But
loves these guys.
Do you really?
I do.
The person of the movie.
Both. The movie more than the person. We talked about that before, though.
Yeah, we did. I remember that now.
Okay.
But
I agree. I would say that Chastain might have gotten left off, but then again, it would you would only replace her with or replace Streep with her, but then you're nobody's ever gonna not nominate Meryl Streep, so
that's pretty true. If she got a nomination for Florence Foster Jenkins, which even Sausage County. And I love a Meryl Streep did not watch.
Florence Foster David Wallace.
David Foster Wallace.
David Foster Wallace. I'd watch that movie.
So all right, Colby, who do you think? What do you think? Who do you think will win?
I'd say Margot Robbie's got no chance.
No.
Even though I liked her a lot. Meryl Streep is not gonna win.
No.
It's,
no, she's not.
If I had to pick, it would probably be Frances McDormand. Yeah. I think I liked her the best out of these. I've seen all these movies. And but I think Sally Hawkins is probably gonna win. It's between her and Saoirse, probably.
Wait, hold on. You think it's between who?
Between Saoirse and Sally.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. I think Frances McDormand is the front runner.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Well, again, I have not seen any awards, anything. Okay. I am totally going off just what I think in my head.
So, I think she is the front runner. I wouldn't give it to her. And I think she's very good. I think she's very, very good.
If you say you're going to give it to Meryl Streep, I'm going to come to this computer.
No. Let me tell you, I give it to Margot Robbie. Actually. Really? I thought she was a force of nature, and I thought, for one, nobody plays crazy better than Margot Robbie. She has proven it time and time again.
Yeah,
homegirl is like destined to play every lady serial killer who's ever lived.
I want to see her play like Deep South. Trailer trash redneck girl.
Listen, if Tonya Harding had been from Alabama,
yeah,
that would have been the best movie I've ever seen in my life.
True.
That would have been my new favorite movie. Except,
yeah, it wouldn't have been about figure skating, it would have been about mud bogs.
But I probably, and I'm not even gonna say Margot Robbie gave the best performance of the year. I'm not taking anything away from it, but you'd give my favorite. I mean, I loved watching her in that movie. But I haven't seen Shape of Water, so I can't comment on Sally Hawkins. I really like Sally Hawkins as an actress, and I'm sure she's incredible. I'd be really happy if Saoirse Ronan won.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be really, really happy. Probably I actually want Saoirse Ronan to win more than anyone else. I think it probably is going to go to Frances McDormand, but I think both Saoirse and Sally Hawkins have a good chance.
Yeah, I do. I think McDormand is going to win this. It's an interesting character. She gets to be mad in a way that we don't really see. Like, she's angry in that movie.
That's kind of what I was going to say. Is she going to win? Because I put hers and Sally Hawkins' performances on about the same level. But hers, McDormand's, appeals more to me because she's got more flair.
It's a kind of role that we don't. I mean, I'm not trying to be like we're living in a time where guy. Like, I'm not trying to be that guy, but
right.
it's the kind of she's the kind of angry we don't really see female characters be in movies.
No,
like there's this seething rage that she has,
and that's what I'm getting at. Is there like this? Is she the front runner? Is she the pick because of her both on screen and off screen aggression she has?
Maybe.
I think that's the reason, because I think Sally Hawkins is in this movie, she is like the throwback to the classical actress, and she is lovely in this movie.
It's a solid movie performance. I mean, she's great, Sally Hawkins.
I think the thing with Frances McDormand is she's so singular. There's nobody who's anything like her. And when you watch Three Billboards, you're like, there's literally not another actress in Hollywood who could have played that part. She's the only one.
Meryl.
No.
And
that's true. I'm sitting here trying to think like Charlize Theron in a couple years, but even still, I don't think it's quite the same.
It is different because, and I'm sorry, but Charlize Theron's hot and it makes a difference.
It's true.
It does. Like,
she would pull off the overalls too well.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, you view that character really different. Frances McDormand looks like a regular human.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks like somebody, in that movie, she looks like somebody who has lived a life.
Yep.
Real quick side note.
Leslie Jones.
Andy and I went on a train ride the other day up to North Carolina, and
Orient Express. Orient Express.
Well, I told her because she loves that movie and she loves that book, and I told her to make the birthday present complete. I was going to murder someone. She could figure out who did it, but so we go up to North Carolina, and they tell us, they're like, oh yeah, they shot part of Three Billboards, like the train that you see going by, that's this railroad. That's, you know, they came here and they filmed in North Carolina. Oh, that's cool. So we get up to, and there's like this little town you walk around in, all sorts of, you know, little gift shops and stuff. And I walk in one and I look at a picture on the wall and I see pictures of like Frances McDormand scenes from that movie. And I look at the owners and they just nod at me. I was like, was this her gift shop? Yep, I was in her gift shop.
That is awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
Sam Rockwell cool. in there just dusting off knickknacks.
throw a Molotov cocktail through the police station window. All right, yeah, so...
I need to say quickly. I know, yeah, but Saoirse Ronan gave probably the most realistic teenage performance I've ever seen in a movie.
I agree 100%. That's why she would get my vote if I had a vote.
Yeah,
I would vote for her.
I just think so, and a movie that I'm not saying is better, but I probably liked more. Just liked, like last year was Edge of 17, and I thought Hailee Steinfeld was amazing in that movie. But it's such a sort of distinct, sort of like angry, convoluted little character. You know what I mean? That it makes sense. Like, oh, an actor can sink into this, but to just take like a regular teenage girl who's complicated and dramatic, but I mean, felt like so many girls that I taught, like. She's a real teenager,
yeah.
And I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it. And I'd vote for her.
All right, so let's move on to supporting actor. We have Willem Dafoe for The Florida Project, Woody Harrelson for Three Billboards, Richard Jenkins for The Shape of Water, Christopher Plummer for All the Money in the World, Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards. Loaded category.
Hashtag all... Oscar so white. And full of males in a one category, no yeah. less.
Yeah. And here are the five male nominees.
I wish you would.
That would be so funny. Okay. I don't think there's really... Are there any snubs for this one?
God, I'd have to think about
Armie Hammer.
For Tonto.
I did not expect Woody Harrelson to get a nomination, and I did expect Armie Hammer to get a nomination.
Yeah, I kind of either Armie or Michael Stuhlbarg for one of those two for Call Me by Your Name. I thought would get in, but Woody Harrelson. It's another one of those kind of like Denzel where everybody loves Woody, and so they're like.
I'm gonna be honest. Let me just say this: Sam Rockwell should win. He should win, in my opinion. Now I have not seen The Florida Project.
Yeah,
and I've heard that Willem Dafoe's really, really good. So, and I'd be happy.
It's because everybody reacts that way to The Florida Project because of two things. Number one, Willem Dafoe is not creepy, which is something that
super
we're not
weird.
Yeah, we're not used to seeing.
So he's acting.
but also, like, he is the only professional actor in that movie. So for him to slide seamlessly into this movie with all of these people who've never been in a movie before is kind of incredible. But yeah, this is Sam Rockwell's. He's going to win.
I don't think Woody Harrelson should have gotten a nomination.
Oh, he was good.
He was awesome.
He's good.
He wasn't awesome.
He was to me. I really
loved him. He was playing the most Woody Harrelson.
He was. That's exactly it, though. He was perfect for that role.
Yeah, I do agree. He was great for the role.
I don't think it required a lot out of him.
True.
I don't think he had to work hard.
And we'll get to another example of that in the next category, but I don't know. It's everybody loves Woody. I thought he was better in something like Edge of 17 last year than he was in this. But I don't know. Christopher Plummer getting nominated. Kind of interesting.
I thought he was really good.
I did too.
I wasn't upset about that one. I thought he was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And yeah. It was also a reward for that movie. Yeah. For replacing Kevin Spacey.
Okay, so Colby, who do you think is going to win?
Rockwell.
Yeah, who should win?
Rockwell.
Okay, John David?
Yep, same.
I'm going Rockwell, and I want to go Defoe. He was so good, but I got to go Rockwell. He's been one of my favorites forever, so
I'd love to see him. There's one snub in this, and that is the fat guy from I, Tonya.
He was good.
He was incredible.
I'm not saying I expect him to get a nomination. Also, Sebastian Stan. I didn't know he could act. I did not know he could be a good actor.
Now that you said that, it made me think of... I do have one. I guess it's a snub. Well, I got two, but one's a joke. what's his name?
From
Bridge,
what
of
movie?
Bridge of Spies.
Mark Rylance.
I thought he was excellent in Dunkirk.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had enough screen time to really warrant a nomination. Also, who should get the Oscar for best acting this year? Everybody who pretends to like Justin Timberlake's new album.
I've not listened to it yet. Is it that bad?
I haven't listened to it.
I'm probably not gonna partake in that one. I just don't imagine.
I like JT. I knew it wasn't gonna happen. Well, there was two that I knew weren't gonna happen, but I would have liked to have seen, and that was Patrick Stewart for Logan.
Yeah.
And Ray Romano for The Big Sick.
But, Ray Romano for The Big Sick, I would have really liked to have seen.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go on to supporting actress. Mary J. Blige for Mudbound, Allison Janney for I, Tonya, Leslie Manville for Phantom Thread, Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird, and Octavia Spencer for The Shape of Water.
I wonder if we're going to be the most divided on this. Okay, I think this might be our most divisive category.
Could be.
Okay.
So we were talking about Woody and like him not really having to do all that much acting because it was kind of written for him. I kind of feel the same way about Octavia Spencer and Allison Janney.
Mm-hmm.
About Allison Janney?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's her. That's her character. I mean, that's just...
I don't know.
Thought she was...
I thought she was really good.
Incredible.
You really, really liked I, Tonya.
Yeah.
No. I really liked the performances in I, Tonya. The movie, the more I get away from it, the more I think there were a lot of missed opportunities as a film. But I thought those performances came together so well. I really love every performance in that movie. I thought she was so good. I don't feel like she's played like crazy, like abusive moms like that before. She definitely plays hard edge.
She's on a TV show called Mom.
She plays versions. I mean, this is kind of the most amped up version of it, but she does play versions. I mean, even in like The Way Way Back, it's not quite here, but she is like this foul mouth.
She kind of plays like a Lush in The Way Way Back.
She's like this foul mouth neighbor mom who is inappropriate. Yeah. So, like, I think there's some shades of that here.
I think part of the thing too is, again, right now I'm watching The West Wing, and that is a really different role for her, and that is where she's got started.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's like the press secretary.
I'm seeing that difference right now, that I'm currently watching her in sort of this very sort of noble, good role. And then to see the opposite of that in I, Tonya, I thought she was great.
She was really good. Okay, so, Colby, what do you think will win? What do you think should win?
I think Metcalf will win.
Whoa.
Oh, God. Surprisingly, I loved Leslie Manville in Phantom Thread.
Cyril?
She was incredible. She was almost better than Daniel Day-Lewis was.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Mudbound. I've never been a fan of Mary J. Blige. And musically or
it's a family
acting.
Affair.
Yeah. Octavia, again, it was kind of written for her, so I can't...
Well, listen, they did the same thing with her in Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The two other actresses were more deserving of a nomination than she was in Hidden Figures.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
She wasn't in Hidden Figures, Colby.
You know, Shape of Water kind of reminds me of Hidden Figures, to be honest.
Because it's like a Disney movie. It's like you're watching a Disney movie.
It's this fairy tale.
Yeah.
What
do you mean by fairy tale? For Hidden Figures.
Wait, I didn't say Hidden Figures,
did I? No, you did. You just said Hidden Figures is a fairy tale. Because it could never happen in real life.
I think we're going to have to rewind the tape. I know that whenever I first saw that poster, I thought it was about three flight attendants.
I thought it was, too. Apparently, I can't tell the difference between a rocket and an airplane.
Yeah, who's the idiot now?
All right, Zach. Who do you think it should be?
All right, so I think just Janie has all the momentum. And I think it probably should be Laurie Metcalf. Either her, I don't know, either her or Manville. I really like both of those performances. I would go Laurie Metcalf.
I also would give it to Laurie Metcalf. I would. I love Allison Janney, but... Laurie Metcalf, it's the same with Saoirse Ronan. It's just like, to me, to play a real person is harder than playing an eccentric sort of caricature of a person.
Well, I agree.
Allison Janney played a real person.
She did literally play a real person. And she did an incredible job.
Yeah.
But there's something about playing a, you know.
There's something about watching an actor and not think that they're acting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, it was the same with Casey Affleck last year. I never felt like he was acting while he was doing that movie.
He actually killed his kids in a fire.
Oh my God. Would have been Daniel Day-Lewis.
That would have, yeah.
I think it could be between Janney or Metcalf. I won't be surprised either way.
Yeah, okay, so snub for this one. Holly Hunter, Big Sick?
Yeah.
I
thought she was the best person in the Big Sick. Now, I will say, also, that role is who she is as a person.
Mm.
Like a mad Southern mom.
Yeah.
That's who she is. But I thought she was really incredible.
Okay, let's go on to adapted screenplay. We've got Call Me By Your Name by James Ivory. Actually, I'm not going to read off who wrote them. We got Call Me By Your Name, The Disaster Artist, Logan, Molly's Game, and Mudbound. I don't really have any snubs here that I can think of.
Not for adapted.
Mm-mm. What do you think's going to win?
Call Me By Your Name?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Has to be.
You know, James Ivory is 98 years old, the guy who wrote this.
Good Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't know what else it'd be. Read those off again. That's a random.
We got Call Me By Your Name, Disaster Artist, Logan, Molly's Game, and Mudbound.
I want to say this about Disaster Artist. A movie I enjoyed. Like, kind of until we get to the end, and it's sort of like, don't try to inspire me in this movie. Like, this man is a creep who made a garbage movie, which is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to watch. But it's the worst movie ever, and don't be like, isn't it so wonderful that they still talk every day? No, it's not. Because that one dude, I'm more concerned with him than I am the James Franco character. Like, what's wrong with you? What? This is terrible. At some point, you should have just made this a horror movie. Like, you just should have fully committed and been like, and this is the psychological breakdown of these two people. But don't try to, like, make me think that this is a good thing.
Yeah.
what a story, Mark.
Great movie. It'd be a Hollywood movie. Yeah, it's probably going to be Call Me By Your Name. I do think it's cool that Logan was nominated.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's a really good screenplay.
Yeah. Molly's Game, of course, Sorkin. There's a lot of words in that one.
It is... Now, I have to say something. Like, I've read the book, Molly's Game.
Yeah.
It is not anything like the movie, really. I mean, it is like...
She makes everybody look a lot worse, right?
Oh, yeah. And she names everybody.
Yeah.
I didn't think she named everybody, like, in the movie, they make a whole big deal about not naming anybody. But
she's like, nope, that was Tobey Maguire. He's a little creep.
Yeah. Sorkin definitely is obviously showing off as he does.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it.
I don't have a pick. Like, I think Holly Bergen will win, but as far as what I would like to win, I don't care.
I'd vote for Logan just because I think it'd be cool.
Sure. Sure.
Holly's Game or Logan, one of those two. I think Carly Weathernape's going to win pretty easily.
I just wouldn't vote for The Disaster Artist because of reasons previously stated.
Yeah, it's not going to win. Okay, original screenplay. We got The Big Sick, Big Sick, Get Out, Lady Bird, Shape of Water, and Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. This is like the toughest category. Holy moly, this is loaded.
I couldn't be mad at any of them.
No, I think Shape of Water is probably the weakest link here, in my opinion. I love that The Big Sick was nominated, and I wish it would have gotten more love. Like, I think it should have been best picture.
I do too. I mean, I know why it's not. I'm not even upset that it's not. I get it. But in my perfect world, it would have been.
Yeah.
I think I'd have to vote for Lady Bird, though. I think I'd have to.
What do you think will win?
Lady Bird.
Lady Bird?
Because I think it's not going to win Best Picture, and I think this is the category that it gets to win.
Could be right.
I have that same feeling. It's either going to be Get Out or Lady Bird, I think.
Really? I think they're going to want Greta Gerwig to walk away with an award.
Yeah, I would say out of this category, either Three Billboards or Get Out is the best written. It's either going to be Lady Bird or Get Out, probably.
See, I think that Three Billboards is probably the front runner.
I can see that.
I think that's going to win, but I would vote for either The Big Sick or Get Out. One of those two. Probably Big Sick. Maybe, I don't know, like Kumail Nanjiani having an Oscar would just be
hilarious. Have you listened to his stand-up?
Some of it. I haven't listened to
It's pretty too good. Much. I like it a lot.
Yeah, he's good, and he's really good. But yeah, I think Three Billboards. Okay, so that's like the major categories. I mean, cinematography, I think, is going to be Deakins for Blade Runner. But
if it's not.
So I'm glad we did that finally. Because, like, my favorite thing to do is talk about the Oscars.
It is mine too. What movie do you think? Because there's always that thing of one movie, maybe you're not even expecting it, but all of a sudden it just wins everything. And they call it, you know, just if there's one movie that has a chance of coming in and sort of sweeping a lot of categories, what do you think it is?
Lady Bird. Still riding the feminism train. Think it's going to take over.
Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe. But also, like, it's not the only movie with the female lead, like, as the lead.
It's not got to do with the female lead. It does, but it's also female director, female writer. It's the female movie of the year.
It is. I kind of think it's Shape of Water.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance that...
Which is so Shape weird.
I haven't even seen the movie. So, there's something about it. I just think people are going to latch on to it.
It's so funny to me that, like... The Shape of Water is that movie that, to me, I don't know why, but it's like it's that movie that I would enjoy and I think I should be like preaching to everybody to go watch and nobody else watches it.
Right.
Like I thought that was going to be what it was.
I kind of like the movie a little bit less because of all the love that it's gotten.
Me too, a little bit, yeah.
And I kind of like Three Billboards a little bit more for all the backlash it's gotten.
I like Three Billboards more because of all the backlash it's gotten.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I thought you said you liked it less.
No.
Oh.
I don't know. I could see Three Billboards or Shape of Water just like winning a bunch of stuff. Shape of Water.
Go ahead. If you could pick any movie to win any category, like any winner for any category that you say, I just want, like, no matter if it is, you know, a front runner or not, that you see in my perfect world, I would make this person or this movie win this category. What would it be?
Nolan for director. And I tweet out the F word. You know, all caps.
I'm probably gonna agree. No, it would definitely be Boss Baby for
Animated Future. Sweet goodness.
No, it was a fun movie.
I saw Boss Baby.
You're an Alec Baldwin lover.
I want to put it this way: if Boss Baby wins Coco, I storm the Academy.
Yeah, me too. So does all of Mexico. Because
did you know that that's the highest grossing movie of all time in Mexico?
I don't doubt it. It's a great movie. Yeah. I hoped that it would be more of a Best Picture player, but
I did too.
If Ferdinand wins, John Cena gets an Oscar.
That kind of good.
If Ferdinand wins, they got to play the music when he walks on stage.
He comes up with his big chain, his hat. He's dressed like he's going to fight Christopher Nolan.
Yeah,
I would watch that.
Okay, so we got the ceremony's about a month away. Sometime between now and then, we will do our Floaty Awards, and then after the ceremony, we may come back and have some reaction episode, depending on what happens. If Darkest Hour wins Best Picture, I'm going to have some things to say.
I hope so bad that they're like, and it goes to Darkest Hour, and then Darkest Hour takes the stage, and they realize they read the envelope wrong.
Yeah.
What if This Is Me from The Greatest Showman wins Best Song?
I don't think the public knows our relationship with The Greatest Showman.
I'm trying to think. What else is nominated?
Remember Me from Coco, Mystery of Love, Suf Jan Stevens song.
Oh, yeah, we got Suf Jan.
Mudbound, Mighty River, Mary J. Blige, and Stand Up for Something from Marshall.
Let me say this.
I have seen one of those movies.
Okay, here's the deal. Have you seen Coco yet, Colby?
No.
You'll like it.
Remember it was really good. Me.
So here's the thing. The Greatest Showman. I do not like that movie.
No.
That is probably my least favorite movie of the year. I don't understand why people love this movie. It's actually lost on me. Anyway, all that aside, the person who plays the bearded lady, I saw her on Broadway. And
really?
She's super cool.
Does she actually have a beard?
Broadway show. Huh?
Does she actually have a beard?
She does actually have a beard. Okay. No, she does not. Her name is Keala Saddle, and just being a Broadway fan, I've liked her for a while. And then she was in the original cast of a musical called Waitress, where all the musicals written by Sarah Bareilles. Obviously, that is a show I like a lot. And I saw that show on Broadway, and she was in it, and she was really phenomenal. And I'm really happy for her, because she gets to sing at the Oscars this year, and you know she's like, what is happening to my life? So I'm happy for her, and that is what I will say about The Greatest Showman. That is positive. And then it's over. There's nothing else that's positive to say. Colby, did you like The Greatest Showman?
I loved it. Went back and seen it 3 more times.
I encourage you all to get on Colby's Twitter and find where he was live tweeting while watching The Greatest Showman.
It's pretty good stuff.
Another note on that. It was, the theater was full.
Listen, people love that movie. More than one person has come up to me and been like, you really like musicals, right? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, okay, well, I don't normally, but have you seen The Greatest Showman yet? It's incredible. Several people.
So
that's a recurring thing in my life.
According to Vegas, This Is Me has the second best odds for best song.
What's first?
Remember Me.
Yeah.
I like Suf Jan Stevens as an artist.
Too.
So, I wish they could have found a way to put that his Tonya Harding song in the I, Tonya movie so it could have been nominated.
It does not fit at all.
No, it doesn't. But he did write it and submit it to be in that movie, and they were like, no.
Yeah. That's too bad, too. It is a really good song.
But, yeah.
Okay, Colby, how long did we go?
Oh, it's been a good hour and a half.
Really?
It's hour 16.
Hour 16, that's not too bad.
We've gone longer.
Yeah, we've definitely gone longer. Okay, so any closing thoughts? Any recommendations for anything?
Oh, well, recommendation, this has nothing to do with the Oscars, but I'm in the middle of a book right now called The Secret History that both of you would like a whole lot.
Wait, hold on. Is that the one about the group of students?
Yep.
Yeah.
Is it the sequel to The Secret?
Yes.
There's a murder or something involved?
Yeah, okay. So the very first thing in the book tells you that there has been a murder and who that murderer, like who got murdered, and the fact that the people who did it. And then the rest of the book is you getting to that point and some similarities with Catcher in the Rye, some similarities with Looking for Alaska, but think much more like very rich children who are very unhappy with their lives.
Why people behaving badly. Greek,
committing a murder.
This is oddly like parallel to a movie I love back from like 06 called Cry Wolf, which is a horror, psychological thriller horror movie starring John Bon Jovi. But it's like the plot you're telling me is pretty close to exactly that movie.
So fun thing about secret history, Steven Soderbergh has been trying to make a movie of it forever, and he legitimately says the project is cursed.
Oh, that would be so good. I've got that book. I've just actually never read it. I bought it.
I'm listening to the audiobook right now.
How's the audiobook?
The book. It's really good. It's read by the author, and she's from Mississippi and has a strong Mississippi accent, and it takes place in Vermont, but you get over it.
I might do that.
It's really, really good.
All right, so my recommendation is The Good Place.
Oh, it's my favorite show right now.
It is so... I finished season 2 the other night.
It's so good.
It is just a genius show.
I didn't know season 2 was out yet.
I bought it on Vudu.
Oh, so it's...
It just wrapped up.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I love The Good Place. We could do a full episode on The Good Place at some point. I love that show so much.
It's I'm telling you, it's my favorite show right now. It's my favorite show currently on television.
Yeah. Colby, any recommendation?
Blade Runner 2049. Hashtag free Denny.
I feel like that's aimed at me.
No, that's aimed to everybody, but yes, particularly
shots fired.
You.
At John David. Okay, well, I think we are going to wrap this up. Yep. So, you stay classy, boat listeners.
Have a lovely day.
Also, I have a thing for Bradley Whitford.